welcome aboard our vessel. I'll be your captain. Join me and my trusty ally, the cook, as we set sail through our relationship with music, film, literature, and everything in between, as well as our ongoing exploration into mental health and well-being. Anchors up.
Hello, everyone. We are back.
Sultry tones.
It is, yeah. I'm feeling quite chilled today.
The old grey whistle test, isn't it?
I'm feeling quite chilled, but I think it's going to ramp up a bit in a bit. I think we got some. This is going to be a really good one, actually, and we'll go into that in a second. But let's hold our horses and build up slowly by reviewing our challenges. And I set you the challenge of meeting me for a coffee.
I know.
How was that this morning?
It was fun. Well, I mean, I tried to avoid you all week. And
well, I bloody bought
away.
It. For you
did
there you
buy
go.
Yeah, I did appreciate that. But I did still have to buy Charlotte one to take it home with me.
Oh, there you go. Sorry,
but
Charlotte.
No, yeah, it was not, you know, it was nice. I quite like the fact there was no one in there.
Yeah.
It was nice. It was quiet.
Served ourselves.
we talked a little bit. You know, we made plans, which we're going to talk about in the outro. But also, enough. It's weird. It was nice when you left as well. It sounds hot, but
I know
because I stayed to do a bit of work.
I know what you
mean.
So
I stayed for half an hour. No one else there. You know, and just me. A bit of music was going on. I just focused.
Yeah.
And then when I got home, I had a bit more energy then, just to really dive in and just plow on with some typing and stuff like that.
How do you find working in the coffee shop?
I like working in the coffee shop. My one worry is that I always feel, because I'd love to take my laptop, but I just feel like one of those pretentious idiots who just sits there with a laptop and, you know, just.
I already called you up your briefcase, didn't I?
You did, I know.
Not quite a briefcase, but yeah.
It was empty, but.
I told you that Alan Partridge episode, if people know, they'll know, but yeah.
Yeah, and obviously, for you know, it's just a challenge just being with self-actualization in mind, just a bit of spontaneity.
Yeah, so this week has been very busy for me, but there have been times where I've had gaps. We do have a golden hour in work, which is basically your hour to do what you want. But I found myself working from, which is not the idea.
Yeah.
So one day I thought, I'm not working for this one. And I went for a walk and I didn't take my headphones. And it was really cold and crisp. I started to think about the past. Thinking about my BAM, my uncle who passed, also my uncle who's still alive, I spent a lot of time with back in the day, and a particular memory came back to me about something, and I came home and wrote it down into a short story. So I think we were just talking, so we may read it out later. It might be embellished a bit, but it was all from my memory of that time. But the best thing about it was no, you need to get out, Aaron.
Yeah,
you need to go away, you need to go and do something. But I continued by coming home writing a story as well. I felt really fulfilled after. Do you mean that I'd, just, you know, made the most of my time and did something different, give myself a break, just conjured up some good memories. Maybe that was not having the music on as well.
Maybe.
Music distracts, doesn't it, sometimes? So
yeah, getting in touch with just nature and sounds and stuff like that. And maybe if we do follow the spontaneity, I'd actually been organised and I have done the chapter. I actually did it yesterday as well, but perhaps that goes on hold and
we'll see. We'll see how we flow.
We'll see how we flow. How the flow goes. But before we introduce the band of choice, I've just got a little thing for you. So, German cowboy walks into a car dealership. The dealer says, "Hello, sir, how can I help you?" Cowboy looks at him, looks him up and down, and just simply says, "Audi, partner."
Oh, dear, dear, dear.
I guess this time, I kind of introduced a bit of a theme there. You know, we're not doing comedy. Well, there is a bit of comedy.
No.
We are going to Germany. We are going, I don't know if we're going left wing, right wing, in the middle wing, wherever. You know, we've had Pussy Riot, and I think it's kind of that same theme.
Yes.
A band that I've oddly always liked. Always liked them. And I know when we've met to have our, you know, nice in-depth meetings playing FIFA, I played them one week and I think we had about 25 players sent off and just got angrier and angrier. So this band, I'm just going to go with the story and then we'll just introduce the name as we go. So bit of history. So when he was young, Till Lindemann, he believed that his role in life was to destroy the West and its decadent culture. So we're in Germany, and Germany was a disunited nation. It was made up of two politically and physically opposed states. You had the capitalist West, so the FDR, and the communist East, so the GDR. Till was born and raised in the city of Leipzig, which was in East Germany. So he bought into the party line wholesale. And interest, obviously, with Leipzig, they're, you know, quite a successful football team now, which reference. But so he said that in school they had to study political subjects, then watch the news or read articles of official newspapers of the state, and then write essays. And he said that brainwashing was such that he was convinced he'd someday go into Western Europe to annihilate the evil capitalists.
Wow.
Now, the irony is that 30 years after the fall of the Berlin Wall, or, you know, obviously it's a bit longer. Is it 30 years? Well, sometime now. It was 89, wasn't it? Yeah. So the son of it, you know, the son of the East has gone some way to achieving that goal. So he hasn't quite brought the West to his knees, but Till and his band, who some people may know what I'm about to say, Rammstein, have infiltrated and subverted its culture in a way no one could have foreseen 25 years ago. So, basically in the mid-90s, Rammstein sort of appeared, and the German press gave it a new genre of music. So they called it the Neue Deutsche Härte, if that's right, or New German Hardness. Quite an interesting name.
Yes.
You know,
yeah.
I don't know whether I want to come across New German Hardness, but
careful what you say.
Yeah. So the band combined elements of, it's called Krautrock, industrial music, heavy metal, and almost like, I don't know this person, you might, a Jacques Brel like insistence on drawing out and sort of enunciating, so it's like really enunciating lyrics and thinking about it. Rammstein do hold and enunciate quite a lot. They're controversial. So since launch it, so it was 95 they launched in Berlin, and their 8 albums have touched on such things as sadomasochism, homosexuality, incest, abuse, necrophilia, pyromania, cannibalism, sexual violence. I'm going to count, like, they were actually sued by a cannibal as well, which I find just, interesting, shall we say. But also, something which I've noticed is they've really become known and respected for their music videos. Reading a lot of like top 10 music video, rock music videos, you know, looking at different magazines I have, Rammstein normally appear there. And I recommend, if you're listening to this podcast, go and watch some of their videos.
Definitely.
Some of the ones I'll bring in, so you've got Deutschland, you've got Ich Will, Sonne, Feuer frei. And they're very elaborate, very outspoken in their themes. You know, they do not shy away, but also their stage show. I had a DVD of Live House Berlin, and it is incredible. Just the spectacle. And I know there's a lot of stuff, you know, we will talk about and things like that. But I guess, sort of that's kind of introducing, I guess, some of the themes and just where they came from, you know, really coming from that area of Germany and, well, East German metal, essentially. So I know you've enjoyed your journey. Let's see a few holes in the walls where you've obviously had a bit of a mosh and started punching things. But where are we going? Where are we taking them?
Well, I think there's so much in there. I was writing notes the other day. I enjoyed it. It was funny when you asked me about Rammstein. If you heard of them, I think a lot of people have the music, whether you've listened to them or not. And then, but I hadn't really dived in. The first time I'd listened to any of their music extended time was that time at your house. Then we started to put on like the live videos, didn't we, and watch some of them. And you will be bobbing your head, you will be stamping your foot, you know, you will be engrossed. Like, you know, I mean, the stage shows, and we'll go into more detail in a bit, is pyrotechnics, fire, violence, you know what I mean? There's shocking stuff that you see on there that they bring to the front. And I love the bit though, if we go back to the start with Till, you know, growing up in East Germany, how he describes that, you know, the brainwashing side. Like when you said that, you know, they were encouraged to read official newspapers, which, as you know, means that you're fed a certain version of the truth.
1984.
Exactly. We've got all that coming, linking in. But also as well, just from his perspective, how he could have been famous for something else. He could have been he's an excellent swimmer. Actually, if you look at him on stage now, he's a well-built guy, isn't he, Till Lindemann? He's always got his guns on show, isn't he? And, like, you know, he looks like a physically fit guy. But then there's obviously that period of time. The wall comes down. Those two opposite cultures get together, you know, and their music sounds to me what I would picture Eastern sounds. Mm. And it's almost like we're going to shove this down the Western's throat, you know, a little bit to me. So where do we start? So I think for me, firstly, I think we'll start with the sticking together element, mm-hmm. because when the band was formed, all the members of Rammstein are still there now. Yeah. So obviously they've got a common goal and a common mission. That's not normal in bands, is it? Especially when you've got creative differences and things like that. And I may be bringing some other themes, but sticking together relationships over a long period of time, particularly when is there six of them? One, two, three, four, five, six with the drummer.
Yeah.
For six different entities with their own creative minds, everything else to stick together. It's harder for two people to stick together, isn't it?
Yeah.
So for six, I thought that's interesting, and they must have that common shared goal.
There must be, sort of a common goal of that. This is our purpose, but also, I mean, they must just get on.
Yeah.
They must just enjoy it, you know, enjoy what's going on and having fun and just, getting on with things. I know there was one time where Till Lindemann went off a bit, and a few people speculated, oh, is this the end of them? You know, is this coming to an end? And I think the band weren't too happy, but I think that was sort of, they came back together, but his music still sounds basically the same. You know, it is
just very much
Rammstein, but I think he collaborated with a Swedish artist or something like that to move forward with it. But again, it's, you know, just name dropping. I know I mentioned the coffee shop, just their first, the way they launched in America was they were just sort of, well, they were a support band for two, I think the bands went on to do big things. They were called Korn and Limp Bizkit. So, yeah, I mean, just imagine being at that concert.
Yeah.
Imagine how pumped you'd be. I guess Korn were headlining.
Yeah,
after seeing Rammstein.
Yeah.
And then, like, imagine the casualties.
And the energy.
And the energy, just, it would be pumped.
The crowd, I watched the other day their show at Madison Square Garden. Mm. And there's a couple of their live shows on Prime. So I encourage people to watch it. You might, the music might not be your style, whatever, but the stage show will suck you in.
Yeah.
You know.
I mean, we've spoken about.
Yeah.
We want to see the show.
And definitely.
I'm just going to do this because there's tickets available to see them on the 30th of June in the Principality Stadium.
Is it their gig?
It's their gig. It's been rescheduled and there's still tickets. So I'm just leaving that there. So we may.
We could do a revisit.
Be going to see. Yeah, you know, well, I mean, and some of us got a birthday coming up.
We've both agreed, haven't we, that we want to be up in the stands looking down.
Yeah.
Because you don't want to miss nothing. A, we don't want to get assaulted.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And B, like just the spectacle. And we'll go into some of the live performances in a minute and what makes them so special. But I think as well, just coming back on the sticking together. So, all right, Till went off and did a side thing, but he never did. That, you know, Rammstein have always recorded as the six, but Cruz has had a baby with Lindemann's ex-wife. So one of the guitarists for Rammstein has had a baby with the lead singer's ex-wife, and also the bass player Oliver Riedel. They nearly chucked him out because he kept suggesting different names. I mean, the first one, I think, I can't remember the full name, but he put his own name into it. So it's like Oliver Riedel something, right? And they're like, what are you on about? Like, you know. And then he just keeps suggesting to the point where it drives people insane in the band. And he talks about how Till would chase him around the studio with a bass guitar and threaten to beat him up with his own bass guitar. Mm-hmm. But then even to the point where one day he came in and said, gingerbread cookies, and everyone started going mental. But he actually had cooked gingerbread cookies and was offering.
I think that's quite a good name for a band. Gingerbread cookies.
Well, that's our band. Sorted.
There we are.
We'll take it.
Yeah. Captain and Cook gingerbread cookies tour. And the gingerbread cookies. We could have some backing singers.
Yeah, we could do that. And we dress them up as big cookies.
As big cookies or as gingerbread men.
But the name is important, isn't it?
Yeah.
And I was going to get your view on this because everyone thought it was named after the Rammstein air show where people died. It was an Italian, I think, flying squad crashed over the town of Rammstein, which is with one M, not two, like the band name. But it can also mean ramming stone, which also is very apt for their music. But what do you think on names? It's very important, isn't it?
It is. I mean, I like almost a collaboration of them both.
Yeah.
No, because it is looking at a natural disaster. No, it's looking at something that was horrific to witness. If you look at photos, you can see footage. You know, there is this big explosion, all of that sort of stuff. It's, I guess, a shocking thing, so a shock factor that they're bringing. But also the ramming stone, you know, if we go back to Pussy Riot, they are just ramming and ramming and ramming this thing, you know, just saying, listen to this. We know what we're saying. You know, they had, they released, so it's See if I get the right name. It's sort of link. Well, they call it Linksville Drive here, so it's Links mm-hmm. 1, 2, 3. But they did that almost to declare they're not connected and don't support any kind of fascist
yeah.
or Nazi movement. And they keep banging that drum, even though people keep thinking, oh, that must be how they are.
Yeah.
You know, if you watch Deutschland, they have a lot of that mm. sort of elements in there of the negative side of Germany, shall we
yes.
say?
Yeah.
You know, I know sometimes it's brushed under the carpet, or actually you're not allowed to talk about some bits of that in Germany.
Yeah, definitely.
I might be wrong then. But, yeah.
I think that's really interesting because it reminded me of when we went to Hamburg.
Mm.
And I know we were in different taxis going to the hockey game,
mm-hmm.
but I was in a taxi with our mate Dan and I think little Rich. And the taxi driver, as soon as he knew we were from the UK, one of the first things he started to do was apologise for World War II. Mm. That wasn't the first time that happened to me when I was in Germany. And I remember saying to him, hang on a minute now. A, you don't need to.
No.
And B, there were bad things on all sides, right? But I think from their perspective, and actually it's probably good to come to the Deutschland video, when you were saying earlier about people should go and watch the video,
mm.
it's like a mini movie, isn't it?
Like, it is.
I mean,
well,
to the point
like
of credits
also, yeah.
having the
yeah.
credits at the end.
Yeah.
But the imagery is really a shock. I mean, basically, Lady Deutschland or Germania mm. is
yeah.
played by a black woman first.
Yeah.
So that's straight away turning that around the perception of what Germany is. But one minute you're looking at them all dressed up as Nazi soldiers, but the next minute they're dressed as Jewish people mm. hanging from, you know, sitting everyone watching.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I think it's just also they're going, this is our history,
mm-hmm.
you know, and we did bad things and we were, you know, in the past, and this is what it was like. Talking about the Ramming Stone stuff, mm. that is proper, but behind it, the music's driving. You know, I found that a lot of the Ramstone songs, they drive in. So you're almost going to a hypnotic state when you're watching
oh,
it.
Yeah.
Combined with the imagery, it's really striking, isn't
yeah.
it? Really powerful.
You can listen. Like I've been fortunate. I've had a bit of time, but also because I like them so much, I've listened to every single album
yes.
this week.
Yeah.
And you're listening, and all of a sudden it's finished. You don't actually
yeah.
realise where the time's gone. It
yeah.
is, like you said, it's almost hypnotic.
Yeah.
And you know, most of the time, like, I know elements of German I can get past.
Yeah, yeah.
In there, but you don't know what they're saying.
No.
And I'm like just banging my head. You know, I could be like head banging to anything,
yeah.
to everything. You
yeah.
know? And then, yeah.
I think it's great, powerful music. Like I said, if you combine that with the imagery, and that's probably where it's worth coming on to the performances. I was watching the Madison Square Garden one. And for anyone like who wants to know, talk about crossing over and music crossing language barriers. They are like huge in America, right? Like,
yeah.
I can't explain to people who haven't heard of them, right? They're an East German theoretically banned,
yeah.
right, who sing in German,
mm.
right? But you go to America, they sold up Madison Square Garden in 20 minutes.
Mm.
One of the biggest arenas
yeah.
in America,
yeah.
and they sell it out fast. When I wrote some notes, so I put performances, aggressive, thrilling, intimidating, scary, dicks, pyro, dangerous, fighting,
mm.
right? And I wrote all them down. And I thought, because when I was watching it, Flake, who's the keyboard player,
mm.
he's a great actor
yeah.
as well, isn't he? And he normally come down and push Till Lindemann. They have a bit of fight. Then they normally end up setting Flake on fire.
Yeah,
basically,
yeah.
Like.
It's almost like a bit of, if you look at theatre, like Commedia dell'arte, where you have, I think it's Arlecchino, is like the Harlequin, the
okay.
jester.
Yeah, yeah,
takes on,
yeah.
And he takes on that sort of
he's
role
comedy,
of being
yeah,
the comedy.
Comedy.
And I think I like, you know, I'm interrupting, but I like that in the balance of their show because it can be quite a heavy, quite a dark, you know, incestuous almost show.
Yes.
But then him coming in brings that light relief, which, you know, if you look at any Shakespeare, you know,
yes.
You have a light relief character that comes in and just has that, allows that bit of break from the intensity of,
yeah.
you know, it is, it's heavy, that
yes.
music. It's you know, it has melodies, but it's heavy and heavy and heavy.
Yeah.
Having that little break almost allows the crowd to breathe
definitely.
And everything to breathe to continue.
Yeah, and it's also what you said as well about the way Till Lindemann uses the vocals.
Mm.
When you said
mm.
through the Neudeutsch Harte, like style, he really, whether you understand German or not, he wraps his like tongue around every word.
Yeah.
So you
yeah.
know what he's saying. And I mean, in Germany, so obviously if you understood German, it couldn't be clearer, like, you know, what he's saying.
Mm.
And obviously, from a lyrics perspective, they keep it very simple. Like, you know what I mean? Where it's just like, you know, they pick a topic and they drive it home through
yeah.
the music. It's like literally hammering and nailing, isn't it?
It is, yeah.
It's like, you know,
yeah.
just keep
well,
boom, boom, boom.
Speaking of hammering and nail, it's Zeig Dich, which I've got, you know, I've got some things open on here. No, it's not a blue website. It's called Show Yourself, and that the city is this indicting, allegedly, I'll put that, Catholic Church's handling of sexual abuse, and it has a choir singing bastardized Latin. So, you know, that's like you said, they pick a theme and they will hammer and hammer and hammer.
They've got,
I think it's the Riser Riser album has a song about Moscow, it has a song about America, mm-hmm. you know, and the America one just starts off with like a chant of like, it's like, in English, it's, we're all living in America, America is wonderful, and they repeat it, repeat it, repeat it, almost like a trance of people, you know, like Americans saying, no, it's wonderful, the American dream is wonderful, it's wonderful, it's wonderful.
Yeah.
It's, yeah.
To the point where you start to question it, and you're like, is that what they're trying to say? You know, and I think it's, and then again, we talk about people who feel a bit as outsiders, and mm-hmm. things like that, it's definitely music for them at the times, and I know from what I was reading into, you know, people who have not felt like they fitted in or found an escape through, you know, through the music. But yeah, just the stages, you know, all of those words are probably right. And also as well, they're not scared to be controversial, you know. So like, I think when it was in America, Till Lindemann went up behind Flake and simulated having, you know, gay sex with him, or having sex with him, mm-hmm. you know, and then they walked out of the arena and got arrested, you know, because it was illegal in that state for them to do that.
Do that, yeah.
And then to Moscow, which is the one we watched, is in the last 5 years, 4 or 5 years.
Yeah.
So they're in Moscow, and it was just at the time where Putin was putting through anti-LGBTQ laws. We probably touched on this in our Pussy Riot thing as well. Good link to this. And Till Lindemann walked up to Cruz, who's got a kid with his ex-wife, and snogged him on the stage.
Yeah.
You know, just to say, you know, we're meant to be, if you look at it, it's so masculine, that sound, right? But then they're quite strict to go, but no, we're here to make a point as well, you know. And they're actually probably more liberal and social than people give them credit for.
Oh, definitely. You know, that's why I said, you know, just look at, read the themes, look at the lyrics, look at what they deal with. And I think it is that element of, you know, let's pick a random pop. Let's say Ed Sheeran suddenly turned around and started singing about the abuse in the Catholic Church, started singing about the Holocaust, or started singing about, you know, as we've, you know, well, we spoke about, like, the fact that, you know, technically the British invented concentration camps.
Yes.
Like, and he came out like that. People would be like, whoa, no, we're not going to buy this. Because Rammstein is so almost polar opposite, and like, it's heavy metal. There's almost an acceptance of them to be controversial and not get absolutely hammered for it.
It's funny, isn't it?
Yeah.
And that's really funny, because I listened to an interview with them where they were asked about the fascism and the left wing, the right wing stuff, and they absolutely said no. It's like what comedians do. Mm. They flip a mirror up sometimes, and they, so it's you know, it's bringing it to the forefront. But it's interesting, when he was in the interview I was, so I think it was Till Lindemann talking about, if we were Spanish, or if we were, like, you know, British or whatever, mm-hmm. we wouldn't have to worry about being labelled with this, you know. But because we're German, you know, we're being labelled for being right wing and for being fascist. No, we're just facing what's, you know, we're showing what's actually happened. You know, this stuff has happened.
Yeah.
And I think to talk into the controversy stuff as well, it's difficult for them, because they have been linked to some controversies that are outside of their control. I was talking about outsiders and things like that. And also, they got linked in with Columbine, because Eric Harris, who went in the Columbine school shooting, which was absolutely tragic, was wearing a Rammstein top in footage. And that's really difficult for them to deal with, isn't it? Because let's be honest, you'd be wearing anything. Yeah. Like, you know, it's just the fact that it was a Rammstein, then all straight linked to that imagery. I'm sure people have killed in, like, a Led Zeppelin top in the past, or a Beatles top or something, but that doesn't fit what the new... Oh, he listens to Rammstein, so must be this way. Yeah. We both listen to Rammstein. Do you know what I mean?
You know,
They've had to deal with that.
Yeah.
They've had to deal with that, and I think that's... That's difficult. Like, that's a really difficult thing to get over. But I think when they looked into it, you know, they had to come up with press conferences, defend themselves over that. And I just think that, you know, for me, must have been a tough thing to cope with.
Yeah, it's interesting when you mentioned with, like, you know, the T-shirts, you know, people going around wearing T-shirts and stuff. And for me, I've always been interested about getting, like, maybe a quote tattooed onto me.
Yes.
And that's always something Charlotte says is, well, you don't know what might come out in the wash.
So true.
30 years down the line, and if you've got a quote from that person,
so true.
It's risky.
Yeah, you know,
and it's risky because of that. But yeah, the T-shirt. It is interesting how is it just an easy excuse for people just to blame Rammstein?
Yeah,
say, well, he's wearing a t-shirt. Definitely. Look at games like Call of Duty, stuff like that. You know, and people, yes, there is, you know, and there is research coming, you know, and being done about the impact it can have, but also something's got to have happened to that person prior to them playing 100%. Call of Duty for them to make that decision to go out and do what they do.
100%.
Massively.
Yeah. 100%. And I think it's like, well, I grew up playing Grand Theft Auto, Medal of Honor, all those shoot 'em up games. Didn't make me want to go out and shoot anyone.
No.
At the same time, though,
it's like I play FIFA. It doesn't mean I could play football.
That's 100% true.
Yeah.
But no, I was listening to, like, I'm reading a book by Mark E. Smith at the moment from the fall, and he was saying, like, you know, the difference in when he was younger and growing up in Manchester in like the 60s and stuff was you had to entertain, you had to amuse yourself. So, you know, then television grew. You know, and then now computer games are the ones that are sucking the life out of kids. Mm-hmm. I mean, we were probably on the edge of it, weren't we? So we still had that balance of going out, but PlayStation was growing.
Yeah.
And now it's like people don't want to come out today. No, they just want to play the PlayStation.
I was fortunate. I didn't go until like when the Dreamcast came out in like 99. So I never really bought in. And I'll buy a game and I'll go on it, but I've never really been a gamer.
Yes.
Apart from Football Manager now, which I seem to be addicted to slowly. Yeah. But it's, you know, it is. Yeah, just that thing. But I think it's touching again. Just for me, like, listening to Rammstein was like listening to my teenage years.
The
album Mutter was, I can remember, like, not one of the first albums I bought, but one of the first proper albums I bought of, like, oh, I like this, I remember this. Mm. And it was 2001, but I listened to it and I knew what song was coming up straight after. You know, and it took me back. Like, I think my parents let me put it on for a bit as we were like driving back from Cornwall or something. And I had it on, and I think it lasts about three songs. There was a decision of like, nope, that's going out. So I obviously had a portable CD player back then, so I'd put it on just hoping we didn't go on over any bumps because it would jut at the
CD. Can you remember the anti-shock ones? It never worked, did
it? No, they never worked. No, and then, you know, the same when Rise of Razor came out, so that was 2004, and that was one of the first gifts one of my friends bought me. We bought each other 16. An album.
Yeah.
You know, so. But also, you know, and I shared with you the Clavier album. It's just their music done on piano. And I'm
so
like, I want to get that because it's like the polar opposite. Yeah. You know, it's heavy, heavy metal to the piano and just relaxing. It's something which I could probably play and people wouldn't know. It's Rammstein. Yeah,
that's so true.
Yeah.
And I think it's interesting because actually, I think the dramatics of bands like Rammstein directly correlate back to, like, if you've ever heard, I'm being a bit geeky here, but if you ever listened to like pieces by Beethoven and pieces like that, because it's so atmospheric, and at times, like, you can listen to certain pieces of opera and it really challenges you. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, really, like, dark minor chords, you know, played repeatedly and fast. And that's why often piano interludes and actually Flake using his keyboards in Rammstein brings a different element, because I know out of the Neue Deutsche Harte movement, one of the things they linked it back to as well, which is huge in Germany, is techno, right? And if you listen to, there's loads of this, but Deutschland, the way that starts, that could go a different way in terms of going to a techno track. But also there's a lot of Rammstein tracks, the 4/4 beat.
Yeah.
Right, which is very techno dance music.
Yeah.
If you listen to Rammstein, that, and he's got a double, I love a double bass on a guitar, you know, bass drum. Mm. And when he really rumbles those, but you hear most of the beats are the, you can stomp and rock your head to a very incessant beat, can't you?
I recommend, like, if you want to listen to the piano going into something, For Your Fry.
Yeah, okay.
Because it starts off with the piano just doing like boop, 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 boop. Boo, 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 and then it just sort of boom. I know you said send me some songs. I struggled, I narrowed down. I was like, this one. Well, actually, listen to that. Oh, no, this.
Just, you know, stick This Is Rammstein on.
Just put it on and you'll enjoy it, you know. And also, it's, again, you know, if we're talking a bit about self-actualization and stuff, it's giving you that freedom to explore something different, but also to explore maybe a different element of yourself and just listen to the music and just let yourself go.
Yeah.
You know, clear the space a little bit, but just actually just let that movement, you know, it's a big thing for me about not being bound and restricted in your movement. And with Rammstein, if you listen to it and just literally just let yourself go, you know, let your arms go, get the flow, you know, and you get a hell of a workout listening
you
to
do,
them as well.
You will.
Yeah.
And also, like, who cares? Who's watching you if you're in your living room having to jump around? Like, who cares?
Who cares who is watching? You know, if there is someone looking over. Yeah.
I definitely wouldn't care. But I think my research into them as well, things that, you know, we always talk about are important to us, you know, linked to have a love for music and mental health. And this links in Rammstein, because I sent you an interview that was with Cruz, the guitar players, Richard Cruz, I think, isn't it, from Rammstein. And I just thought it was such a, it's in German, but it's translated, and I think we've put it in the bio. But how you can tell performing in music, like, is his life, to the point where he says he feels he can play a show, the minute he steps off the stage, he can feel completely worthless. Like, he's like, he said, I'm basically born to make new things, make people dance and happy. The problem is that it doesn't last forever. And I was kind of sat there going, well, it does for what you're doing. It's recorded, you know, and people are still finding. But for him, I think what he means is that he can't constantly stand on a stage, or he can't constantly be releasing music. So when he's not, he's in a really dark place. And he said that that gives him life. Like, if it didn't, he said it wouldn't be worth living. It was so, talk about masculinity and vulnerable masculinity, which I know we might have some things lined up on that. But he's really bearing his soul, like, you know, on national telly, basically.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and again, you know, that's, it's a brave thing to do. It's a brave thing to, and again, you know, it's not stereotypical, but say, you know, even without, like, the German outlook.
Yes, definitely.
You know, where it comes to masculinity, where it comes to actually admitting weakness. You know, if you go years and years back with Germany, you know, you didn't show weakness.
No.
You couldn't show weakness.
No.
You weren't allowed to show weakness because you were punished.
Yes.
Physically, you were punished if you showed any form of weakness. Yeah, you know, and it's just a band that, I didn't think we'd get round to doing them. No, it was just a random band that came up, and we thought, actually, this is a fun wild card to do. But also, I'd hazard a guess that everyone listening, all two of them, will have listened to a Rammstein song
at some point in their life.
You know, and let us know if I'm wrong. Let me know if I'm wrong. But I'd hazard a guess, whether you were, you know, by choice, or whether it's because your son put it on in the car when you were driving back from Cornwall, you know, you will have heard. Or heard of the name Rammstein?
Well, just on that, my mum, who I think would be the last person, said that when she was in school, and she did go through like a punky phase and stuff like that, someone that she went to school with made a music tape or whatever, and Rammstein was on there.
There you go.
Like, or like after school or something it was, but I can't remember. Anyway, she said she remembers someone making her a tape, and there was a Rammstein track on there.
Yeah.
So my mum now, that'd be the last thing she put on.
Yeah.
But actually, for all of us, when I know she has a crap in work or whatever, probably one of the best things you can do to release energy, like, in a good way that exhilarates you, have to stick a Rammstein song, like you said, and just have a jump around, release
just have
it,
a jump
let
around,
it go.
Yeah, just allow it.
Are we
to
setting that
it
as a challenge for listeners?
Yeah. And no, I mean, I'm talking about, but I know their influence came from, like, it was the Metal Militia, which was formed, you know, and that sort of came from behind the Iron Curtain, you know, sort of from the 1980s.
Oh, okay.
You know, there was a big movement around East German metal and heavy metal,
okay,
which is where Rammstein appeared, and they're still going. And who knows?
Amazing.
We might get to go.
It's funny as well, just touching on the German thing before we bring to, like, come towards the end. I always think of Germany as industrial, especially like Berlin and places like that, because some of the most celebrated nightclubs in the world are in Germany. And I know there's a huge link, even to bands like this, to techno. Techno's got the same effect. It's hypnotic and repetitive, right? But one of the biggest clubs you can go to is the Berghain. It's the one that you can queue up for now. They might not let you in for no reason. There's forums online about how you can try and get in, basically, right? And they go, talk, you know, learn a bit of German, make sure you know who's playing so you can say that at the door. Don't wear any bright colours, wear black, you know, and try and fit in. With this band, when I hear them, I'm like, great, and hopefully we see them in the stadium, we watch the stage shows and all of that stuff. But imagine watching them, like, in a disused factory. And some of the videos, they use those images as well. They're like, very industrial.
And you talk about techno, they have got a remix compilation that was released in 2020, which is all their songs where they've collaborated with other people. I was going to send it to you, and I didn't, because I wanted the full essence of normal Rammstein. But yeah, have a listen to that, because it is techno Rammstein, which
continue,
I think is literally right up your street.
Continuing my journey.
Yeah, exactly.
But anything to close Rammstein off?
I'm going to say no. You know, I just want to encourage people to listen. If you've got a bit of time, I'd say listen to the Mutter album.
Yeah.
So it means mother. If you've got loads of time, listen to Sehnsucht, which was their very first album that they released. But yeah, I'll finish with a nice Dankeschön.
Okay, so I've got to say, I've had a whale of a time, and you know, just finding little bits of time to watch a concert or read into Rama. Good fun, I'd say, you know, but very powerful as well. A very powerful group, powerful music, powerful messages, and not shying away from the darker side of human nature and human life. But I thought, you know, you gave me a Bowie quiz last week, didn't you? Or about who, but which Bowie are you? Which was
Bowie
like
album are you?
Weirdly,
it was spot on. That was too scary.
Although my best friend's not called Brian; it's called Colin.
So
I've got a
caterpillar. Is he?
Yeah.
Full of chocolate.
He does a pit. He don't talk back.
Don't worry, I got a best mate called Cuthbert. He's much cooler.
Right, quiz for you.
Here we go.
So, most of these are multiple choice, except for the first one. I think you'd have a good shout on this.
Okay, I'll move my laptop away so you can see I'm not touching it.
So, first one, what is the keyboard player Flake's real name? It's a hard one to start with.
Franz Lindelof.
Not far off. Christian Lorenz.
Oh, that's close.
Right, now they're all from here, multiple choice.
Wonderful.
During the lab show, what odd article of clothing was used during Wildervein? Did they use skirts, sombreros, clown masks, or funny glasses?
Clown masks.
It was sombreros.
Awesome.
Now, you are going to get this one, because you said it to me earlier. I was like, oh, God, I've got this in the quiz. What does duhashed mean in English? You have, you hate, you are, you hurt.
Duhashed mich. You have me.
Correct. You're off.
Yay.
What year did the group start? 93, 94, 95, 96?
Well, I've said this just now, and I can't remember. And I've closed the page. So I'm going to go in 95.
It's 94.
It's 94.
Fishy on the road.
How do you know? Maybe they got better in 95.
They got better. They didn't start, though. Well. Right. Where were Till and Flake arrested in the US? Was it New York, Memphis, Dallas or Boston?
This is why you didn't say it, isn't it?
Yeah. I was going to bring it up, but I thought no.
New York, Memphis, Dallas or Boston. I mean, if I'm thinking of what they did, I'm going to go Dallas.
It's Boston.
It's Boston. Awesome.
But you're learning.
I am learning.
And it's not about how many you get.
Look how much fun I'm having.
So, who is Rammstein managed by?
This is Rammstein?
The manager has got a nickname. Is it alpaca, emu, goat or lamb?
Goat.
Is he emu?
Is it?
Oh. Right. Who did Rammstein tour the US with in 1997? KMFDM, Korn, Slipknot or Kiss?
Korn. Korn?
They said it was KMFDM, but I did some more research and give you Korn.
Thank you.
Because I think they've confused that one.
If I swear too much, you're going to have to drop this segment, aren't you?
No, it's fine. What director helped Rammstein make it in America?
Oh, was it David Lynch?
You got it. I give you a bonus point because you got it without the options. Yeah, basically used their film in Lost Highway.
Sorry,
their music, two tracks. A lot. It was a bit of a cult film. Mm. David Lynch was huge anyway, but it got a bit of a following, and it helped that they went massive from there. So there you go. What video caused many controversies in 1999? Was it Stripped, Du riechst so gut, Engel or Du hast?
I mean, they were all pretty controversial. Let me see. I want to say Stripped.
Yes.
Yeah.
Can you remember why?
Did they get naked?
No. It was, well, they have caused controversy. I think there's like three videos where there's nudity. Basically, they used clips from Leni Riefenstahl's film from Nazi times, from the Olympics.
Yeah.
The 36 Olympics in Berlin. Cool. That's where they started to get a lot of hard press around the right wing stuff. Yeah. Last one. Now, we didn't really talk about this in the thing, but we're going to do a couple of funny facts in a minute. But what liquid is produced during Buchdich? Is it milk, schnapps, vodka, or Pernod?
Is it milk?
No, although. So by the time, so in their current performances, they did start by using milk. So I'll give you half a point.
Okay.
But what they found was it made the stage very sticky.
That links in with another funny one that I found.
So they changed it to Perno. But we should say that on Buch Dich, Till Lindemann, the lead singer, comes out on a big penis.
He does.
And
he
sprays the crowd then with Perno now.
Perno now, lovely. That's so you could just get drunk.
Open your
mouth and get drunk. Yeah. I mean, we should touch on the fact that you can buy some... how should we put it? Adult instruments.
You can.
Which are Rammstein branded.
Official.
So, yeah. And I know someone who's got a birthday coming up.
Oh, I was going to say something. I'm not going to on this part. We might have to put an explicit one on this. But no, I think we were just talking off air. A couple of interesting facts. You did mention it in your intro, but just a couple of things we were just snipping at the end. Mein Teil was a song about Armin Mervs or Mewes, or however you pronounce his name, who was a cannibal. They're probably the only band who've had a lawsuit raised against them by someone who's been in prison for cannibalism.
Yeah.
Let's just say the lawsuit failed. Mm. But again, it just sort of gives the level of, the controversy. You found another thing, it was interesting, worth sharing as well, wasn't it? About the metal people in East Germany.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah, I just found an article around the metal militia.
Militia. Metal men.
Behind the Iron Curtain. And it was that the GDR's Secret Service in 1989, so they sort of did regular counts of scenes by observations, denunciations from every local Stasi department. So they counted sort of conspicuous fans, so some of it with additional investigations, size of groups. And essentially, out of that, they found that heavy metal fans outweighed skinheads and sympathizers, punks, goths.
Wow.
So there were observations, they listed 1,151 heavy metal fans.
That's it.
In East Germany.
It seems so like it's low, no but surprise it's a suppressed group,
really exploded and led, I would have thought, some of the extremities and some of the push against it.
So much Rammstein.
So much. Okay, so as I mentioned, we're following spontaneity, so we're not going to do it initially now. We're going to do chapter 20. So the big 2-0. We really need to work out when we're going to finish this story, I think, as well.
We keep taking each other away from
the end. We do. I've gone somewhere different again. But let's see where we go. Chapter 20. I feel the rage filling up in me, bubbling like a volcano, ready to explode, ready to cover everyone with my unprocessed trauma. The trauma I've been holding on to. Gavin doesn't need to find out this way, I think to myself. He can't discover who I truly am. See me for the fraud and failure I've been. The part of myself previously Chris and Franz grows inside me. I feel the familiar bile in my mouth, spit it on the floor. I know what's coming. The darkness is on its way. I fight it. Not now, not today, not again. I look. I see red splatters on my hands, but nobody around me. I feel the blood pulsing through my veins, my heart pounding in my head. I fall to the floor. The doctor will see you now, I scream to no one. It echoes off the walls. Off the white walls. A buzzer. I feel hands roughly pinning me to the floor. To the cold floor. My face finding a calming contact with this cooling sensation it brings. I think we need to talk a bit more, doctor, the voice behind me says, as I'm led out of the white room. I turn, see a shadow. It's familiar to me, but why? I know the voice. Gavin, I question. That's Dr. Gavin Stone to you, comes the reply.
Boom, 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 boom.
Voyage.
Oh no, I can't accept it.
Go on then, you've clearly got something planned. I see your guitar.
On our next voyage, Rammstein.
You right over there? You're going a bit red.
I've been talking to everyone like this week.
Hello there, sir.
So this is where we set challenges for each other. So once you've stopped laughing, yeah, you can set mine. But I'll go first. And if people want to have a go at this, please have a go. You know, we do really like knowing people listen. You know, and just sharing stuff.
We know you're listening. We see your stats.
We're watching you. Yeah. But it's a nice one for you. All I'd like you to do, take a photo a day.
Photo a day.
Photo a day.
Anything I want.
Anything you want. And we will share it. So, yeah, you've got... Well, we're recording earlier, so you've got a week. So we'll share it next Friday. And cool. It has to be on Instagram. Otherwise, the people will riot. And I will release your address. So...
Photo a day.
Either a photo a day or your address is going on Instagram. Excuse me.
Photo a day.
Man, I think Nora writes better than you. You actually are scribbling.
I'm going to stick that on my fridge. Right. For you... Just, it was something you said earlier. You have absolutely no problems. You've got a... We always talk about... Actually, we shouldn't just underwrite it. We've always got busy weeks. The world is the world is moving on. It's getting fast-paced. That brings with it frustration and sometimes, oh, God, things are getting on top of me. If you recognise that this week, I want you to stick Rammstein on, and I want you to bounce around.
Wonderful.
Right? If you're in the office, do it. Get the rest of them to do it with you. If you're at home, shut the curtains. And put some clothes on.
Oh, it's going to be one hell of a photo. I think we might get banned off Instagram.
And a photo a day.
And a photo a day of it. Ah, tidy. Yeah, I'll give that. I'm sure I'll give that a go. You know, now we're going to go into the outro. I'm talking like that just so it's going to be awful for you to try and cut that, because he probably won't.
It's just been possessed.
Oh, you'd think we've been drinking and we haven't. This is where we give sort of shout outs, different information, things like that. There's one bit which I'll touch on at the end, just sort of saying about something we might focus on next week. Yes. But I didn't know if anyone's spoken to you apart from me this week.
No, I think...
No, okay, cool. No,
I think it's more... I don't know. Why do you ask a no when I want to say yes?
Yeah.
A lot of people just, back in the routines, enjoying having it back on their commutes or on their way home from, on their lunch breaks or wherever they listen to it. I know we'd had a message from Harry, and I think he mentioned there's a song out at the moment... that's been promoted by Calm as well, around men's mental health.
Yes, he did.
Yeah,
yes.
And we haven't had a chance yet, but we will build that and maybe touch on that a bit more next time, and a bit more of the background of it maybe in the intro for next time. I know we had we give Dan Blenkow a shout out for his birthday, and he came back to us as well saying he's hoping to pop back this way for a beer soon, so hopefully we'll catch up with him as well. But yeah, anything from you, mate? Really?
Just touching that, it was it's Plain Old Kev's new song, Invincible.
Plain Old Kev, that's the name of it.
Yeah, so cheers for that, Harry. For me, I think it's just touching on something which came out this morning.
Yeah,
that we heard about the passing of Meatloaf.
Yeah.
Someone who I don't think we've ever really spoken about.
No.
Brought up, but yeah, it was announced that he died age 74, and. We've committed. We're gonna committed. We've committed. We're gonna do Meatloaf next week. We don't normally announce who we're gonna do. If anyone does have any memories, or if you saw him, or any thoughts, on his music or any favourite songs, please let us know. We'll probably record Friday.
Yeah.
Just so people know, we'll be recording earlier. So I think that's the 28th. But yeah, just fire some messages if there's anything you wanted to share, and if you don't, you're gonna have to listen to us do bang on. So
maybe
win-win either way.
Listen, we'll keep trying this with Spotify users. We'll put your opportunity to do that.
Mm-hmm.
We'll put it in the Spotify. So have a look in the bio as we're talking, and you can directly feedback.
Yeah.
But we've still got a Captain and Cook Pod, and we on Instagram.
Yep.
We've still got our email, which is Captain and Cook Pod. That's and@gmail.com. It's all in the bio for you. The Twitter's in the bio as well, so it's not going anywhere. Use it. We'd really like to get up the interactions this year, because we know people are listening.
Yeah.
Don't be scared. I know sometimes you just listen, you move on. That's fine as well. Yeah. But if you can, we're asking you to stop, take a moment.
And dance to Rammstein.
And dance to Rammstein, for sure.
Yeah.
But until next time, it is a trough.
And just before you say that, I think we just need to celebrate the fact that we have hit 3,000 listens.
Oh yeah, that was news. It was like breaking news.
It was breaking news. Yeah,
God, yeah, is everyone excited?
I hope they
You did ask for it last week, didn't you?
I did ask for it last week. And you got it. So I'm going to ask now. Let's be normal. £20,000 in cash each, mm-hmm. and 3,001 lessons.
I think that's a reasonable.
I think that's reasonable. Yeah.
But until then, it is a try from me.
And it's a try from him.